This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
We've got a lot of great relationships where our players who are celebrities in the world eyes will take a assistant strength coach to dinner and pour into him and love on him and serve him and ask him if they can read scripture together and do things that potentially could be ministry oriented. And it would be the opposite way that you think the Lord would, or that the world would have it. It's not, you know, coach to player, or, you know, chaplain guy to the player. It's, you know, a lot of the players have ministered to our staff. I mean, I've had players, Brandon Cooks, coming in here and said, hey, can I pray for you today, and sit down and praying for me.
Jack Easterby talking about Brandon Cooks. Their relationship goes back to New England. It's no secret Jack Easterby and Brandon Cooks have a very strong relationship. He traded a second round pick, the Texans did, for Brandon Cooks in the offseason after the Hopkins trade. Cooks expected to be a big part of things, but there's reasonable doubt that Cooks might not be on the field tomorrow, 32 hours and 18 minutes away from Texans versus Chiefs. There's reason to believe he might not be on the field because he has not been practicing, John. What does this team look like without Brandon Cooks? It's a hard question to answer because we don't even know what they look like with him, but I do know this means Kenny Stills is going to start probably. This means that you're going to have Cobb and you're going to have Fuller on the outside. It's not as intriguing of an offense without Brandon Cooks. And there is some irony. I think right, I'm using right. irony right.
You are.
And the fact that DeAndre Hopkins not practicing during the week was, according to Albert Breer, who's very close to Bill O'Brien, one of the things that irked King Bill about Nuke. And here you are, you have Brandon Cooks not being able to practice leading up to the game in Kansas City against the Chiefs. It's ironic. But it's also a cause for concern if you are a Texans fan heading into
the
tomorrow
night. I think it's a
big cause.
I really do. We all know what Kenny Stills can do. A year ago in the opener, Kenny Stills was the man. I mean, he was just about the reason he and Deshaun Watson that you almost pulled that game out against the New Orleans Saints. That said, he's not counted upon the way Brandon Cooks is counted upon. And there's different levels to it, too. We talk about optics all the time. You know, the optics of this, as you just alluded to, is not great for the Texans. You know, you've got DeAndre Hopkins just got the biggest deal anyone has ever received in the NFL, not a quarterback. And he's been practicing. He's been a part of what the Arizona Cardinals
are doing.
Well,
he wasn't practicing a couple weeks ago.
Well, no, but he has been practicing. I mean, first of all, they're really high on what they're seeing there, or else, you know, this deal wouldn't have happened the way it did, the week it did, you know, the week of the opener, et cetera. And Brandon Cooks, you know, has this quad injury, which, oh, by the way, quad injury, I mean, we know the concussions. A quad injury tends to linger. And then the other part of it is you can't overstate the fact that he probably is not going to play based on him not practicing yesterday. Bill O'Brien is very much old school. One of the old school things that Bill O'Brien has consistently done is if you don't practice Thursday, you don't play in the game Sunday. Well, yesterday was like a Friday. You know, I know it's an abbreviated week, but they've had all offseason. So yesterday was like a Friday before a Sunday game. And he wasn't out on the field yesterday. if Bill O'Brien sticks to what he's always done in these situations, and I can't think of an exception, to be honest. I can't think of a player who didn't practice Thursday. Maybe you can, Landry, but I can't think of a player in Bill O'Brien's history that didn't practice Thursday that did play on Sunday.
I think there's examples.
There might be.
I think there's been times
where
Nuke might have not practiced and it went down. But the thing is, man, I mean, we're talking about it's been 9 months since mm-hmm. Brandon Cooks played. It's been 9 months. And I thought it was strange because the practice that I went out to, and Figgy was out there as well, we were watching Brandon Cooks, and this must have been the only time that he participated in 11-on-11s, and he was freaking good. Like, he was the best receiver out there. Deshaun was finding him. Looked like it was going to be a nice little connection. Who knows? Maybe this is precautionary, but we do know this. Bill O'Brien does not like guys not practicing. Mm-hmm. So maybe Bill O'Brien's changing his tune a little bit for Brandon Cooks. Maybe he likes that. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's willing to let Brandon Cooks move along slowly because the offseason's been so unique. But the Bill O'Brien I know, the Bill O'Brien you know, the Bill O'Brien that all the loopholes, shout out to the loopholes if you listen, you are a loophole. The B.O.B. that they know, he doesn't like guys not practicing. And for a game like this, Kansas City, the season opener, returning to the field where you basically had your heart ripped out last year and you could have hosted an AFC championship game, this just doesn't seem like a practice or a week where Bill O'Brien would not want someone on the practice field. I think Brandon Cooks is going to know the playbook.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Cooks is a guy who he's coaching the other guys. There was a cool moment when I was there
where he was
coaching right in front of me. But him not practicing is not typically something, unless something's just changing significantly, that Bill O'Brien is really a big fan of. He's not a big fan of guys like Brandon Cooks not practicing. And quite honestly, if you look at this receiving core without Brandon Cooks, it's okay. I mean, Randall Cobb's okay.
Cobb, Will Fuller, Kenny Stills, those are your guys.
That's okay.
Yeah, those are your guys.
That's not just that.
You got QT.
Okay, and DeAndre Carter. Okay, that's nice. I mean, that's
no,
a good
I'm with
receiving
you.
Core. It's not great, and it's not proportional to all the assets that you've put into that position. I don't think I think Brandon Cooks being out would be beyond significant, and it would actually be an equalizer because we've talked about Bashaud Breeland, who likes that Marahoochie, that high-grade marijuana called
Kush on the street.
He's going to be out, which is something the Texans could take advantage of if they're at full strength. But if Brandon Cooks is out, it basically is just a wash now, and it's not as big of a deal that the Chiefs aren't going to have one of their top cornerbacks on the field.
Right, and then there's that aspect of it, the actual on-the-field football aspect of it. I mean, you hit it. The Chiefs' defense is going to feel a lot more comfortable. Look, the Texans are still going to run the same, you know, various sets, hopefully anyway, various looks, moving people around, but to have, you know, if you're talking about, you know, taking the top off of defense, Will Fuller's there. Sure would have been nice to have Brandon Cooks there, too.
Very nice. We're going to hear from J.J. Watt, his final words before the big game in about 15 minutes, but we just mentioned cornerbacks. Breeland out and then potentially Cooks out. That's basically a wash. Speaking of corners, I got to pour one out for one of my favorite corners of all time.
Yeah?
Aqib Talib has officially announced his retirement from the NFL.
It's 2017?
Aqib Talib from Richardson by way of Cleveland, one of the best characters in the history of the NFL. Here's a little taste of the greatness that is Aqib Talib. This was him on the Dan Le Batard Show talking about his time in Cleveland and Big Maw.
Cleveland, Ohio, man. I don't remember how old me and my brother was. So we got to go to school in the morning. You know, my mother come home from work, and we like, it's like kind of like a duplex kind of home. Not like a duplex, but like a hood duplex, you know. Real small home. So my Uncle Larry, he like got his music cranked up so loud, man. So my mom come home, she like, the kids gotta sleep. They gotta go to school. So she arguing with Uncle Larry through the door. So she telling Uncle Larry, don't touch my doorknob. He touched the doorknob. Uh-oh. My mama let him have it through the door. Bam. Touch him in his leg. So he called the police. In 5 minutes, Big Mom was over there. Big Mom told him, I wish you would tell him she shot you. Hey, he just said, all I know is somebody shot me through the door, man. It's hey.
He suddenly didn't know who shot him through the door.
He don't know who shot him through the door, but it came right out my mama's house. That's what he told me. Because Big Mom was right there.
don't know. So your uncle developed amnesia.
He got amnesia when Big Mom pulled up.
Man.
That's some Cleveland stuff.
That is some Cleveland stuff right there. Just laughing about, my mama shot a dude.
I don't appreciate y'all's generalizations of Cleveland. I think that's unfair.
I have already followed his podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's going to start a podcast. Figgy, it's called Call to the Booth, @CallToTheBooth on Twitter. This is going to be, this is going to be outstanding.
Elite. It's going to be elite.
It's going to be elite. It's going to be uncensored.
Man, yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be the best. Here's a little more Aqib Talib. Remember his fights with Michael Crabtree? He snatched his chain like Debo in Friday. Mm-hmm. My grandmama gave me that chain. Shut up, Crabtree. Here's Talib explaining himself why he snatched another grown man's chain during a football game.
Oh, no, man. He just been wearing that chain all year, man. It just been growing on me. So I said, if he wear that chain in front of me, I'm going to snatch it off. So he wore it in front of me, so I had to snatch it off. He started crying to the ref. He called for the ref. Ref, he ain't said nothing to me, though.
He's a bad dude. He's a dangerous dude.
Well.
But he's a bad dude.
He shot him. Shot himself once.
Yeah.
I remember that.
He's been in trouble his whole adult life.
I've heard a lot of tales about him. Aqib Talib. But you're obviously not too scared of him.
Nah.
Because John Lopez has had an interaction.
I'm good.
With the great Aqib Talib.
Hey, you do what you do, right? You do your job.
Here it was at the Super Bowl. Rams versus Patriots. John Lopez versus Aqib Talib.
How would you describe your relationship with Wade Phillips?
It's great, man. It's great, man. I got a lot of respect for him. And I love to play for him, man. I think he's a genius. When it comes to getting ready for a game, I think Wade is a genius, man. And I love getting ready for a game with him putting together the game plan.
But it seems like it's more than just football with you two, and that's a very odd couple kind of relationship, isn't it?
Why odd couple?
Well, I mean, different background. No?
I mean, regular, bro.
Yeah?
Hey, coach and player.
But you have a good relationship with him.
Great.
Off the field as well.
Next question. That sound you didn't hear was Aqib Talib staring daggers at me like I was doing some sort of race thing. No, I said different backgrounds.
Yeah, I mean, Wade Phillips and Aqib Talib are different. They are
They're different.
Different. And they've said as much.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of flexed on you, OG. And then the PR lady had to come in there and say,
hey, man, did you hear me back down? Did you hear me back down?
No, I didn't. But all I didn't. Right. I didn't get the visual of it.
I was running backwards. Tell.
More of the story is this. If Brandon Cooks is out, then it cancels out the absence of Brashad Breeland and Aqib Talib. Can't wait to hear that podcast. Pouring one out for a legend. Speaking of legends, J.J. Watt got a big game tomorrow. Let's hear what he's got to say. They hadn't been practicing very much. Let's hear the final words of J.J. before the game in KC tomorrow next.
All-world defensive lineman J.J. Watt.
Live from Twin Peaks Studios, it's the Kickoff Countdown. We're less than 32 hours from the Texans taking on the defending Super Bowl champs. Listen to the Texans opener right here on Sports Radio 610.
All right, J.J. Watts hadn't practiced much this offseason. We know he's coming off another big injury. 3 out of 4 years, that's happened. He's got his hands full tomorrow. He's going against one of the best in the game, Kansas City offensive tackle Mitchell Schwartz. We've talked about the receivers. We've talked about the offenses. But J.J. Watt versus Schwartz is a matchup worth the price of admission. Get your popcorn ready. But what kind of shape is J.J. going to be in? Is he going to be up for it? Let's hear from J.J. live after practice at NRG. The final words from number 99 leading up to the game in Kansas City tomorrow.
Yeah, it's certainly been an interesting, obviously, training camp, offseason, everything combined. So for the game to actually be here and only be a couple days away, it's very exciting. And, you start building up that adrenaline, that excitement. You've fallen into your game week routine. There's a sense of normalcy that necessarily hasn't been there, the whole time. And we're really excited about that. And I think the guys can feel it and you can start to feel it. Guys locking in, getting focused, everything kind of falling into that game week routine. And we're excited. We're excited to give the fans a show. We're excited to put that product on the field and we're excited to compete. At the end of the day, that's what it's about, going out there with your brothers and competing and trying to win a football game. And we're really excited about that.
JJ is a defensive guy. What do you think about these two quarterbacks that are going to play in this game? And what do you think about maybe it's the defense trying to steal a bit of the thunder? Obviously, these guys get a lot of attention, and rightfully so. But just your thoughts on these quarterbacks that are in this one. Thank you.
We're going to have to try and steal the thunder because we sure as hell can't take their money. They got a whole lot of that between the two of them. But we're looking forward to it. You know, it's the NFL is in good hands with guys like Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes being in this league for a long time to come. Very fortunate to be on the field with Deshaun and have him as the leader of our team and have him throwing the ball for us and giving us a chance to win every game. And looking forward to going up against Patrick Mahomes again. I mean, he's obviously an incredible player. Competitor, a great talent, and it's always fun when you get a chance to go up against those type of guys because you want to compare yourself against the best, and there's no way to compare yourself against the best any better than playing your first game against a team whose last game was one where they ended up holding the trophy.
JJ, earlier this offseason, you did an interview from the golf tournament, and you said you had your Defensive Player of the Year awards behind you, and you said they're for TJ to see. What is it like going into a season where the two of you are two of the best defensive players in the NFL, and you are both competing for that award again?
I'm really excited about it. You know, I love watching him play. It's fun to watch. It's fun to have conversations with him. It's fun to talk in the offseason, work in the offseason. Obviously, Derek being on the other side of the ball, we can't necessarily have the same conversations about what it takes, you know, to rush the passer and things like that. But for me and TJ, playing the same position, fighting for the same things, trying to one-up each other at all times, there's nothing better than that. And so one of my favorite things after our games is to go in quick and see what his stats are during the game or to turn on their game if it's on in the afternoon and watch. So now I'll be able to turn on that game and see both of them. But for me and TJ personally, there's obviously a whole lot of competition going on, and I have no plans on letting my little brother win anytime soon.
At what point in either your life or your football career did you stop seeing him as just your little brother and also like, oh, he's kind of a peer to me, is at least on the football field?
Once he has three Defensive Player of the Year awards, I'll see him as a peer.
Hey, JJ, you were talking about how great Deshaun and Patrick Mahomes are. Could you describe, I know you haven't played against Deshaun, he's your teammate, but playing against Patrick Mahomes, can you describe how difficult it is, some of the things that he does on the football field and what the impact is on the defense when you see him make some of these plays that don't really seem to be possible?
Yeah, I mean, I think that both the guys do have some similarities, obviously, amongst their game. But I think one of the tough things is, obviously, they have such a great command of the offense. You know, obviously, you have the arm strength, you have the athleticism, you have the speed and things like that. But can't discount the smarts, and you can't discount how well they have a command of their offense, how well they know and understand where everybody's supposed to be, getting the guys in the right position, getting in the right play, making the right checks. That's not easy to do. I mean, playing quarterback in this league is one of the toughest things you can possibly do with everything you have to manage and all the things that you have to do. And those two guys do it so well and so smooth that people think it's easy, but it's not. They make it look easy. And a guy like Mahomes, you know, with the arm strength that he has, he can back up, you know, if he's feeling a pass rush, he can back up 5, 10, 20, 30 yards and still throw the ball wherever he wants to throw it on the field. He can roll out to the right. He can roll out to the left. He can do all sorts of different things. So that's what makes it challenging, is that he has the athleticism to move around. He has the arm strength to make every throw. And he also has the smarts and the capability to get that offense clicking exactly the way they need to get clicking.
Hey, JJ, we were talking to Deshaun earlier. We asked about the fact, I know y'all moved on from what happened in Kansas City at the end of the season, but will that kind of pop up in the back of your mind this week, what y'all went through? And he pointed out, yes, but he also said you can't forget about what you guys did in October there last year as well. He's got some thoughts about that.
Yeah, I mean, you think about all experiences. I mean, anybody who says you're not going to think about it is lying to you. I mean, the last time we played there obviously wasn't the way we wanted to end up. We started how we wanted to start. We just didn't finish how we wanted to finish. But again, back to your point, in October, we finished the way we wanted to finish. So it's just a matter of learning from that game, understanding where it went wrong, what went wrong, and using that information to create a better future for ourselves. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're looking forward to going in there and having an opportunity to play against a great football team and to hopefully get that taste out of our mouths. That's obviously the goal.
JJ, a decade in here, how have your feelings towards a season opener evolved as your career has evolved? And is there still something magical about kicking off a new season with your teammates?
Yeah, of course. I mean, every single year in this league is different. Doesn't matter how long you've been in, every single year is different and new. And you look forward to kicking off the year with your new teammates and this year, obviously, we have a chance to play in the first game of the season for the whole league. That's, I've never had that experience before, so I'm looking forward to that. You know that all eyes will be on that game. You know that everybody's going to be watching. Everybody's excited for the ball to return after everything that's gone on this year. So we're looking forward to being in that game. We're looking forward to going out there competing. And at the end of the day, it's football. You know, once you step across those white lines and they blow the whistle, it's football. You know, I'm rushing the passer. I'm trying to get to the ball. They're trying to put the ball in the end zone. And whoever does it better is going to win. And I'm just looking forward to going out there and competing and enjoying doing what I love.
Hey, JJ, how much can the results, either win or lose, can set the tone for the remainder of the season?
Just like everything else, it's one game in a 16-game season. Obviously, we want to win every single one of them. That's the goal, and that's what we're working towards. So we're going to go out here and practice hard today and tomorrow and get ourselves ready, and then we're going to go to Kansas City and try and start 1-0. It's just about trying to go 1-0 every single week, so that's our goal.
JJ, you've always spoken very highly of Weaver, but now it's his first game as a play caller. How excited are you for him, but also how eager are you to see what he does that maybe is different in his first game as a play caller?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very happy for Weave. I've loved working with him here so far through training camp as a defensive coordinator. The one thing I'll say about Weave is that he's been preparing for this for years, not just this year. You know, he's extremely smart. He's extremely intelligent. He works unbelievably hard. He knows the ins and outs of everything that he's trying to do on defense. He understands the game extremely well. He understands the players, how to motivate the players, how to get the guys excited, how to keep them motivated throughout an entire camp and now going through the season. He's got great ideas and he's got a great plan, and I'm really looking forward to executing that. I'm very happy for him. He deserves this. And I'm excited for our defense to go out there and execute the vision that he has for us.
That's J.J. Watt's final words before the game on Thursday night. There's some battles in the trenches that I think deserve attention. Mm-hmm. We know the Texans' offensive line, they're returning all five starters. Frank Clark on the outside, one of the better defensive ends in the league. We've seen him. We know what he can do. But Chris Jones, who got paid this offseason, one of the best interior defensive linemen in the league, while DeAndre Hopkins and DJ Reader are gone, he didn't play last year against mm-hmm. the Texans. I think that's something that does not get
either game, right?
Enough attention. Yes, he did not play either game. One mm-hmm. of the best players that Kansas City has on that side of the rock did not play either game. And this is gonna be the first look they get at him. See how Aminihu, see how JJ, see how the D-line reacts to the Chiefs O-line. But Chris Jones not playing a single game last year, and now all of a sudden he's ready to go. He's healthy. He got paid. He's happy. Keep an eye on that. It might look a little bit different up front.
Well,
when it comes to the Texans and Chiefs, he's one of the best in the game.
It's easy to get lost in the dazzle, you know, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes and all the speed on both sides and the rookie Edwards-Helaire and all that. Both offensive lines have really interesting stories that they're going to have to carve out. You know, the Texans offensive line, you mentioned it, Frank Clark. Guys, this guy's really good. I mean, Frank Clark is really good. And right inside of him now is Chris Jones going against the dude with the weight room in his garage. You know, and Nick Martin, that's going to be really interesting. On the other side of the ball, even more interesting to me is Mitchell Schwartz, J.J. Watt, that offensive line that the Chiefs has bolstered as well. I mean, I did everything I could to avoid the term in the trenches. It's going to be one in the trenches because it's such a cliche. It's one of the most overused cliches in football, that the game is going to be won in the trenches. It's going to be affected in the trenches. No question about it.
We've talked about the track meet. We've talked about the speed. We've talked about the talent of the skill position, guys. But Chris Jones playing against the Texans for the first time, didn't play last year. It's something to keep an eye on, and it's something that I think of all the stuff that has changed from last year to this, it might be the most significant change. You're going to get a taste of something that you didn't get a taste of last year. We'll see how it goes. I just can't have him wait. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you inside the world's biggest pregame show. A broadcast legend, guy who used to sit in this room, is going to join the show. However, today, he can go straight to hell. He is the most hated man in Houston. He is a Chiefs fan and a LeBron stan. Nick Wright joins the show next.
You're inside the world's biggest Pregame Show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez. Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals. The tools and equipment you need for any job. You're In the Loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, we'll be joined by Nick Wright in about 9 or 10 minutes, so keep it locked. Chiefs fan, LeBron stan, Nick Wright. Texans, they've protected practice squad players. That means they are not going to let these guys get away. Davin Bellamy, a linebacker. Offensive lineman, Greg Mance. Jonathan Owens, the significant other of Simone Biles, a safety, and C.J. Procise, the running back that they just brought in. Texans protecting those guys. Something is interesting of note, Arizona protected Jordan Thomas, former Texan safety. Jordan Thomas has been protected by the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think the interesting one with the Texans is Procise. We were talking when this roster got finalized. I was a little bit curious why they only kept three running backs and Buddy Howell was the third. That's asking a lot out of those three guys, one of whom I don't have a lot of confidence in as a runner. I know he's going to be really good as a receiver. That's David Johnson. Duke Johnson, who knows how you've used him, if you use him the correct way over the last year. But I think Procise, they might have an eye on him, or at least somebody maybe from another team, but Procise is an interesting one.
Cardinals also make it official. Angelo Blackson, who started for the Texans or played 40% of the snaps the last 2 years, he's going to make their 53-man roster. So there's a little bit of roster news in the NFL. Jalen Ramsey. We saw Duke Hopkins get paid yesterday. Jalen Ramsey got that deal. 5 years, $105 million, $71.2 million guaranteed for the former Jags corner.
There have been some contracts this week, man. Big-time contracts. Doesn't suck to be David Mulugeta either. Who's David Mulugeta, you ask? That would be Deshaun Watson's agent. It would be Jalen Ramsey's agent. And it would be Buda Baker's agent. They all signed contracts this week. His commission, about $9 million this week. Not bad work.
Assuming he gets the 3%.
Some agents go a little higher, some go a little lower. So I did the middle. 3% would be $9 million
Lord.
This week.
Good Lord. Some bad news out of Denver. I know it's another Aggie, so I know this hits close to home for you. Von Miller. He suffered an ankle injury yesterday near the end of practice. Here is Ian Rappaport talking about the injury of the lifelong Aggie, Von Miller.
Denver Broncos and their star pass rusher, Von Miller. He left practice early today after suffering a lower leg injury, not an Achilles, but right near the Achilles. But our understanding is this is potentially season-ending, losing Von Miller for the season before the season even starts, but certainly a very difficult and troubling situation for this Denver defense.
Very difficult, very troubling. A lot of people like this Broncos team. It's a whole different world without Von Miller, man.
Yeah, and Chubb, they're trying to get back. Chubb had a torn ACL last year. They wanted to get both those guys on the field. That's tough for Von Miller. And by the way, next year, the final year of his contract, not a lot of dead cap, so he could be on the market. Von Miller could be on the market for a team to sign, depending on what goes down there. So tough break for Von Miller, tough break for the Denver Broncos, who are looking to take a step forward from last year. Cowboys, you see where this is going. The brother of Nick Martin, Zach Martin, the better Martin, if we're being honest, he had his contract restructured by the Cowboys to free up $8 million in cap space. Where is this going, John?
Earl, baby. I guess, right? I mean, what else could it be?
Earl Thomas is going to the Cowboys. They're going to wait.
Something like this happens, bro.
There's some sort of thing in the CBA where it makes sense to bring guys in after week one. I don't know the specifics, but there's something where...
Let's get our guy cap on it.
It makes a lot of sense. Texans cap would know this off the top of his head. But that's the situation. I think the Cowboys, who open in Los Angeles against the Rams this weekend, I think they'll sign Earl Thomas anytime from this weekend to next. I think Earl Thomas is going to be the safety for the Cowboys. They cut Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. They're freeing up cap space. You're not fooling me, Jerry. You're not fooling me.
I have been hinting at this, reluctantly saying this here and there. Cowboys are going to make me pick the Cowboys this year.
No, I think they're going to be damn good.
I think they're going to be really good.
I'm going to have to pick the Cowboys this year, man.
It's pretty remarkable.
Because the NFC, the AFC, you know the top two.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
The NFC, people are picking Tampa. I mean, I get it because of the, you know, because of Brady and Gronk and all that. But the NFC is not so cut and dried, and the Cowboys have made the most moves, the best moves.
I mean, they added CeeDee Lamb in the draft.
Yeah.
They spent all kinds of money on the defense. That one of their best players was out for the majority of last year, Leighton Van Der Esch. He comes back. It's amazing when Gerald McCoy can have a season-ending injury, and then you just look at the other additions they made. They already have DeMarcus Lawrence, who's one of the better DNs in the league. You add Dontari Poe. You bring in Aldon Smith. I mean, they've done so much. Oh, Everson Griffin, by the way. Did I mention that? Like, they've done so much. I'm with you. I think the Cowboys are going to be good. Rockets, not good last night.
No.
Started out good. Russell Westbrook with 13 in the first quarter. James Harden with 21 in the first half. Rockets were actually up 3 at halftime. However, they fall 112-102. Daniel House missed the game for personal reasons.
Not COVID-related. Yes.
And D'Antoni was asked today if Daniel House will be back tomorrow. Said he had no idea. The hell does that mean?
I have no idea. That's a bizarre one. You're talking about the postseason, man. I mean, it's not like you're playing a regular season game in, I was going to say, you know, April, but the season's all messed up. An early regular season game. Yeah, this is bizarre.
Astros yesterday, they're in survival mode officially. Michael Brantley, though. My gosh, Michael Brantley. 5 hits in a doubleheader, including this one in game 1 to tie it up. Michael Brantley at the plate. 4 bags, Mr. Bellhop.
And he hits this ball hard to right field, going all the way back and looking up. That ball's gone. Michael Brantley ties the game up at 2. Oh, did the Astros need that home run?
Potty mouth Todd Kalas. Caught on to the Michael F. and Brantley. I feel you right there. Astros lose the first one. They're 6 straight. They win the second. And this just felt like something a win that they needed to have. They were down 4-0. After the A's put 4 runs on the board in the third. Then in the fourth, they score 4 runs. They end up winning 5-4. 17 games remaining, 2.5 up on Seattle, 4.5 back of the A's. You got 2 games against the A's. Then you got 2 games against the Dodgers. They're really just trying to tread water right now. It's survival mode for the Astros.
How many Astros are batting over 300? How many Astros in the regular lineup are batting over 300?
I'm just going to say maybe 2-ish.
You're exactly right, because Correa's fallen under 300. He's at 290 right now. Michael Brantley's it. He's it. Yeah, he's the only batter in the regular lineup batting 300.
And it's kind of terrifying to think that this might be the end of Michael Brantley as an Astro. Let's go to the phone lines. Those are the hits here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. He used to sit in this room. He's a broadcast legend, I'll say that. When you get something named after you at Syracuse and when you're on national TV, you are a legend, but this week, he is one of Houston's most hated. He is
Well, he kind of was in some circles when he was here.
He is a Chiefs fan, and he is a LeBron stan. Nick Wrights joins the show right now. Nick, how you doing?
I'm good. You guys played that little chime right after you said he's a LeBron. I didn't hear the next word. Did you say truth teller? because it didn't seem like there's enough time for those syllables. But, hey, it's great to join you guys. My old friend, John, did you say I'm too old at this point to be a son?
I knew. I would have bet money. I would have bet money you were going to say something. I said when I tweeted, you're a little bit too old to be my son and obviously too young to be my little brother. I knew you were going to say something about that.
Yeah, I mean, I beg to differ. I always looked at you as my incredibly loving, wonderful father with a drinking problem. So we've got a lot of stuff to do.
All right, I'll go with that. I'll go with that. I might have gotten busy my first couple of years in college and made a mistake.
Right.
And all of a sudden, here comes Nick Wright. All right, let's talk. I know you want. You can't leave. You can't go 10 minutes without talking about LeBron. But we're going to go 9. All right, we're going to go 9.
No problem.
Let's talk Chiefs, because if you're not going to talk LeBron, Chiefs is it. I don't know anybody. I'm just being honest here to our listeners, but I don't know anybody who really is more plugged in and has better opinions on the Chiefs, and we are trying to find a flaw right now with the Chiefs, with everything they've added on the defensive front. I know their secondary might be pointed at a little bit, but I'm in love with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and haven't even seen him play. You know, where are the Chiefs right now on the pecking order outside of number one?
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, I think they're the best team in football. I think that the two best teams in football are in the AFC, in the Chiefs and the Ravens, and then maybe the next six might be in the NFC. I know Texans fans want to see them climb up that ladder, and there could no bigger statement could be made than if you guys win tomorrow night. And the biggest weakness on the team, without question, is cornerback play. They've invested a lot of money on pass rush in Frank Clark and Chris Jones. They obviously invested a lot of money in Tyrann Mathieu, taking him away from the Texans, but they don't have solid corners, and they've got a corner dealing with a suspension. So I would expect DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, man, never mind. I'm sorry. I guess I would expect Brandon Cooks to potentially have his way. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you guys can keep Deshaun upright, the Chiefs' corners are an absolute weak point. I mean, I know obviously the playoff game is just goes down in Houston sports infamy, but you guys still did hang 31 on the Chiefs. It was more than any other team did in the Super Bowl run. It was kind of whose defense was going to be less bad, and obviously the Chiefs' defense was less bad.
And
but
by
I
the
think
way,
you guys should be able to score.
And well, by the way, Brandon Cooks has not practiced the last couple
of
days.
Yeah, he's got a hurt quad.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Oh. At least Will Fuller's always the bastion of health.
Oh, yeah.
Until he
exactly.
runs a nine route.
Yeah. Got jokes. The thing that I think deserves attention, because you just talked about, we're talking to Nick Wright here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. You know, there's no DeAndre Hopkins – obviously, so we don't know what that's going to look like for the Texans. But I think something that we don't talk about enough around here, and I don't think that they talk about enough when it comes to last year's matchups, Chris Jones didn't play in either one of those. That seems like kind of a big deal. Like, yes, the Texans did move the ball on the Chiefs, but how big of a deal is it that now Chris Jones is going to be right there lined up in the trenches for the Chiefs?
Well, I think he is the Chiefs' best defensive player.
There it is.
Frank Clark got the huge contract. Tyrann Mathieu, without question, is the emotional leader and can do a little bit of everything when he's healthy. But I think you saw it. Like, the way Derrick Henry was on a streak, the likes of which only Earl Campbell, Houston legend, had been on. And then Chris Jones played limited snaps in that Titans game, and it stopped that. The Niners had an unstoppable rushing attack all year. Chris Jones plays in that game, and it forces him to put the ball in Jimmy Garoppolo's hands more than they would like. I know Bill O'Brien is going to want to, you know, try work out his new toy in David Johnson, and I know they're going to try to run the ball. I think Chris Jones is just such a this isn't about the Texans. I think he is the second best guy at his position in the league, and the only reason he's not the best is the guy who is the best at his position in the league is one of the best to ever do it in Aaron Donald. I just think for interior D linemen, he's almost as good as it gets in the business. So, yeah, I mean, you don't have to quite give him the J.J. Watt treatment, J.J. Watt pre-injuries, but you better be dedicating two guys to him or it's going to be a long day for Deshaun.
Well, and everything, it was this way when you were here doing the show with me. It always comes back to Bill O'Brien, and it's that way again right now. I mean, back then you were proud of 32,000 Twitter followers, and now you have 359,000. And you know I was going to mention your Twitter followers because nothing pleases you more than Twitter followers. And so I'm proud of your 359.
Thank you.
But it still comes back down to Bill O'Brien, and I know you have some very, very important thoughts on him and the future of this club.
Well, my only thing is this. I talk with, our former colleague Mike Meltzer a lot, and he thinks I'm too hard on Bill O'Brien, the in-game coach. But it is kind of hard to separate the one person from all the different hats he wears. And my general feeling is the jobs he has, which is de facto offensive coordinator, head coach of an NFL team, and GM of an NFL team, are 70 to 80 hour a week jobs in and of themselves.
Yeah.
And so I just don't know who thinks they have the wherewithal to do all of those things. I guess because Bill Belichick does. He's like the de facto defensive coordinator, head coach, and GM. But he might be the greatest in the history of his field. And so I do think there is immense pressure on Bill O'Brien, not only because he was the coach of a team that was up 24 points in a playoff game in the first half and then somehow trailed at halftime. Didn't just lose. Blew the lead before halftime. But also the coach who orchestrated what I would argue is the most controversial trade of the offseason. And it's not just, and I know some folks say, look at the contract DeAndre just got. That's why you traded him.
Yeah.
I would disagree with that, but still, because it's really, DeAndre's now on a 5-year, $95 million deal. It's totally reasonable. But even if that's true, in a world where Stephon Diggs gets you a first round pick, how does DeAndre Hopkins not? And so I can't, where Jamal Adams get what it fetches, what he fetches. So I think Bill O'Brien has rightly or wrongly, put a ton of national pressure on him. I think when I was in Houston, John, there were a lot of, you know, Houstonians who were like, man, into the half, he seems to have some issues, challenges, he seems to be emotional. But I don't think he was like a national, you know, the go-to name for a general manager or coaching malfeasance.
Yeah.
He has made himself that. And so, listen, maybe the trade will work out, but it was trading away your second-best player when you are, I believe, in a weak conference, aside from the top two teams, and have a superstar quarterback, it's just such an odd move, in my opinion.
Nick, does Mike Meltzer, because I talk to Mike Meltzer daily, does he text you just like one word where you're supposed to figure out what he's talking about? Like, he'll just say Chiefs, and then you're just supposed to figure out what he's talking about? I feel like that's a daily thing with me.
Yeah, I mean, I think basically he's like opening up the phone lines, except it's just to you on the text line. And so, yeah, I mean, that is – but I've also, you know, I've known Mike for almost 15 years. We went to college together, and so I am very fluent in Meltzerese.
There you go.
Nick, I want to teach you something, and I know you didn't come here to learn anything, but I just
–
I learned something yesterday from Bill O'Brien. You just talked about Bill O'Brien, and we're very skeptical of Bill O'Brien being the guy along for the ride with Deshaun Watson, but yesterday he said something, and I thought it was just one of the brightest things that I've ever heard. I did not know this about the National Football League, but – Bill O'Brien taught us a little lesson, and I think you're about to be smarter than you were before about 8 minutes ago. Here's Bill O'Brien's lesson yesterday.
I mean, you know, look, I think at the end of the day, it's still a league about winning, right? It's all about winning.
There you go.
All right.
It's about winning. Oh, the league is unfair. About winning.
That's unfair. That's mean. Yeah, let me say one nice thing. Let me say one nice thing about Bill O'Brien. On stuff far more important than football, I think the way he made it very clear he is standing or, if need be, kneeling with his players this year is the type of thing that engenders immense support in the locker room and takes courage anywhere, but it especially takes courage in Texas. And so I do like
– You are
I
correct.
I really do respect him in that regard, and I feel badly for always banging on him. But so, like, as a man and a father and all these things, he really seems like a total stand-up guy – unless you're Brian T. Smith. I don't think he likes him.
That's true.
He is. He is. Yeah, he is so, a good guy. He is a good guy.
And I just think some of his decisions have not held up to the test of time.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Are the Rockets done? Is LeBron just on a crash course?
Here's your LeBron moment.
Well, listen, here's the thing. I said before the playoffs, the winner of Rockets-Lakers is going to win the title. This is the only series I thought the Lakers were going to face a game seven. I thought every other series they'd finish in six or fewer. However, Houston really needed one of these last two games.
Mm-hmm.
You got to win the game where you hit 22 threes, and they didn't because Russ, you know what I mean? He had a terrible game.
And the game where Russ played well.
Well, and then that's what I was going to say. And then last night, Russ has – this is an unbelievable number for you. Since Durant left OKC, going into last night, Russ had one playoff game where he was above 50% from the field. So, like, he was never efficient in the playoffs, and then he was last night. He was good last night. Houston hit 40% of their threes, and LeBron, you know, takes care of the first half, and then you get beat by Rondo in the fourth quarter. I feel like poor Daryl Morey has been paying off the basketball gods for the Josh Smith six threes game for the last 5 years. It's like, oh, you're going to beat the Clippers when Josh Smith and Gerald Green go crazy? Well, we're going to make you pay that bill multiple times. So that's a long way of saying I do think the Rockets should be up 2-1. And if they were, the series looks very different. As it is now, can you beat LeBron 3 out of 4? The only teams that have done that have had four or more Hall of Famers on their team, and I don't see that. And I think that – is there news on Covington?
Well, apparently, D'Antoni said he is going to play, not a concussion.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's huge because you can't have Austin Rivers be even a supporting actor in this movie. So you need Robert Covington.
Nick, we appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
Good stuff, my man.
Of course. I miss you guys. Johnny, you know how much I love you. I'm so happy for you guys. I will talk to you guys soon.
Thank
you very much. That's the great Nick Wright, national TV media type. Let's do something good for the kids. Let's look out for the kids real quick because Sports Radio 610 has gotten a lot of help from a lot of loopholes. Blake Drew, also known as Splitty and Rappin' Duke, has thrown down. We got a $1,000 donation earlier today. The Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation and their My Home Library campaign, 61% of low-income families, they do not have books in their home. And as a result of that, 60% of kids that start kindergarten, they're already behind. But we're going to make that, we're going to make a change. We're going to continue to give some money to help. $30 gives a kid 6 books of their choice. Let's get the ball rolling.
School is starting this week in person. What a better way to get it going the right way than texting HTX Reads to 41444. That's HTX Reads to 41444. $30, $3,000, whatever it is, and our loopholes are coming through. Thank you very much.
Let's hear from the enemies. Huh, on a ass boy and Kermit the Frog speak next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.